Amen. Giving honor to God who's head of my life, to our deacons, mothers, musician, and everyone in their respective places. Amen. I thank God for this opportunity to speak his word to you one more time. Amen. Thank our praise team for singing. It's just good to be here. Amen. It is good to be here. Amen. Turn to John 15, chapter 5th verse. When you have it, can you say amen? Amen. What did I say? Romans? Amen. I just wanted to know if you were with me. Amen. We got to be on the same page. Amen. Just going to read one verse. We kind of touched on it last week. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husband. I read verse 1. Now read verse 5. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. And he that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Amen. For the reading, hearers, and doers of God's word. I read verse 1 because I wanted you all to know that Jesus is the vine. And we are the branches. And his Father is the husband. What I want to share with you all today is that back then, they used the analogy again of vines. Vines is what they were familiar with. I say this, and I say it in this way, they're not accustomed to. Let me just say it this way. Jesus probably would have used electricity in this day. He used what people were acquainted with. I mean, he couldn't use electricity back then because they wasn't acquainted with electricity. But basically, what I'm saying is to basically make it plain, we must be plugged into God in order to receive the power that we need. When we invite Jesus into our heart, we have the power. We come to church to worship and praise him and study his word. We get turned on for Jesus. When we are plugged in and turned on, our light will shine. Amen. Our light will shine. So basically, to make it plain, nothing will work unless it's plugged in. Now, I know some people, we live in a world where people have smart mouths. They're going to say something smart. So some people will say, well, Pastor, you don't have to be plugged in for something to work. You can use batteries. What about that? My comment, and I don't really comment to smart comments all the time because it could turn into an altercation because I'll cut it deep. But my point, if somebody said that to me, you basically just told me about you. And what I mean by that is, so I'm saying that you need to be plugged in. And if you come at me and say that you can be using batteries, you don't need to be plugged in. Well, basically, you just told me that you are a temporary person. Because batteries are not everlasting. Batteries are only temporary. So you just a temporary person. And you're not plugged into anything. You see what I'm saying? That's who you are. So you walking around self-powered. Amen? Not plugged into any source or anything. So basically what I'm saying is batteries will soon let you down. Amen? Pretty soon you won't be able to, you know, get a signal. You won't be able to, you know, use it. You just won't be able to do the things that you were capable of doing. In other words, batteries start off with power, and then it loses its power. Amen? That's kind of like the, some you know, kind of like the way we are. We kind of start off with power, and then we lose it. Amen? We lose that, you know. But when something is plugged in, when something is unplugged, it doesn't work. It doesn't do what it was created to do. And we need to understand this. There's a reason why Jesus is referring to himself as the vine. As long as you stay connected to him, you will receive that power. You will receive what is necessary that is coming from the vine. As I mentioned last week, I asked Brother Moore about these tomatoes that I have growing. I said, if I pluck one of them and it's not red yet, can it turn red? And he said, it's possible that it can. He said, but the one thing that it won't be is, what won't be the same is the taste. He said the taste will be different. And I kind of thought about that for a moment, because when he said that the taste will be different, then it let me know several things. But one thing came into mind is that, you know, sometimes we unplug ourselves before we have the nutrients that we need. Amen? So what I'm saying is that, so what he just said to me is that if I detach this tomato from this vine, from this plant, then that means that this tomato is going to be bitter. Isn't that, I mean, it's no longer attached to the plant. So now it is a bitter tomato. Isn't that what happens when you detach yourself from God? You become bitter. Some of us don't really realize it until somebody approach you and start talking to you, and they realize you're bitter. You look like a tomato, but you're bitter. Amen? Amen. Am I preaching again? But see, if you stay connected, you will get the nutrients that you need to be sweet, to taste good. And then what happens is when you are plucked at the right time, people will want, and then people taste you, and they say, oh, that is a wonderful person. Let me go back to where that one came from, and let me see if there's another one like it. That's what a taste does for you. Amen? It makes you go back to the very spot that you received it from, and you want to know, is there more like this? And then the one that is better, you wonder, what happened to you? Something's not right. See, that's the problem. See, you got folks that look like a Christian, act like a Christian, but it ain't. Jesus is saying that you stay connected to me, you have everything you need. See, the first Adam sinned and unplugged all of us. And now when you get to heaven, don't be looking for him. That ain't gonna happen. I'm sure he's surrounded by some angels. You know, you're like, I heard what you did. No, you can't do that. God is not gonna let you. No, you ain't gonna be able to holler at him, brother. you ain't going to be able to do that. Not like that, you know. So let's just leave Adam alone. It is what it is now. But Adam and Eve, they unplugged us from the giving source. See, the first man and then his wife, you know, were connected with God. God came down in the cool of the day to fellowship with them. God came down to fellowship with them. They lost that when they unplugged themselves from the source. They should have never done that, but in fact, it was done. So basically, we unplug ourselves from God and walking around thinking that we still are connected. And we're not. Y'all understand what I'm saying? See, here's the thing. Y'all utilize extension cords, right? I said this before. Basically, an extension cord just basically gets you to the power source. You ever use something and it ain't going to reach it, right? You go like, okay, I got something to take care of that. So you go and you get an extension. And you get this extension and you plug it in, okay? And then you go back to where you're trying to connect it and you connect those two together. So basically, as a church, we are an extension for those who are in need of power. Amen? So basically, if you look at it this way too, you look at a surge protector. A surge protector has a lot of, you know, slots where you can plug into. See, this is really the church coming together as a surge protector. And the surge protector is plugged into the source. But see, all of us, when we come to, when people who are, let's say, non-Christians or need to be connected, see, if they plug into, look at the surge protector as a church. You plug into each one of those. That's us that they're plugging into, who's plugged into the power source. Amen? And see, what does the surge protector do? It keeps you from overloading. Amen? Am I right? It's a reason why it is called a surge protector, because there's power that's coming through there, but it's not going to allow you to overload. That's why you got to get hooked up with an older Christian to help you understand what you're working with. Because you can hurt yourself. They tell you, you don't need to go to this place. I remember when I got saved, my grandfather said, don't go there. Don't do this. Don't do that. I'm like this. I can do it. And he was like, no, you don't. You're going to hurt yourself. Why? He was letting me know that there's a surge. And that you're requiring, you want more power, but you ain't ready for it yet. He was protecting me. He was that surge protector that was keeping me from overloading my circuits. Keeping me from blowing up. You understand what I'm saying? He was allowing me to have that fire, because you need it, but he contained the fire. See, some folks, when they get saved, they go out there, they try to save everybody. You know, they're walking around with this Bible. You know, the word of God said, I don't even want to be bothered with somebody that's coming around walking like that. I'm just being real with y'all. I mean, come on now, can I be real? If I can't be real, then let me pass this on to somebody else. If I saw somebody walking around with them, no disrespect, but sometimes we come at people hard. Jesus said, loving kindness have I drawn thee. Amen? Loving kindness have I drawn thee. You know, Jesus didn't create us as robots. You know, but as free, moral human beings, free to choose, make our own decisions. We can plug back into God or not. It's our choice. I would rather be plugged into God. Amen? He's God and we are not. He is the source of life. We are not. Jesus calls himself the vine because as a vine imparts, provides life to its branches. So Jesus gives us his own divine strength and provision. The branches come from the vine. All right. Amen? Yes. It's coming off of, the branches are coming off of the vine. We're not capable of being divine or being God. We need God literally. We need him. We might think we are getting by without God's help, but the fact is God is helping us. Amen? I mean, when you were laying down at night, sleep, did you even think about breathing? No, you did not. You were laying there. Amen? If you say, yo, yeah, I'm good at coordinating. Mm-mm. You can't sell me that. We need God's help. Amen? So when we unplug ourselves from God, how do we get back plugged in? When you're vacuum cleaner is unplugged. How do you get back plugged in? We make things very difficult, very hard. We act like, well, I don't know what to do. What do you mean you don't know what to do? Are you reading the scriptures? Are you studying God's word? If the vacuum cleaner has been disconnected from the source, common sense would say, go, first of all, make sure the power is off. Plug it in. Am I right? We just go back, plug it in, turn it on, start vacuuming. All right? Now, you know the distance you're working with, so you know not to stretch it too far. What happens when you are, let's take this from a spiritual perspective. I disconnected myself from God. So, preacher, how do I get plugged back in? There's a word called, a repent. What did Jesus come saying, preaching? Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. What did John the Baptist preach about? Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Basically, it was saying, all y'all, let me translate, all y'all, brothers and sisters, all y'all are unplugged. Repent. Plug back in and get connected. God sent so many signals to us to get plugged back in. We missed it. So basically, y'all know how, have y'all ever told somebody, it's right there? Generally, it's a woman telling the man, it's right there. Right over there. Man ain't seeing it. He overlooking it and everything. Then finally the woman got to come. There it is right there. And show the man where it is. Like, oh, I ain't see it. Now, kind of like what Jesus did. He was giving us, God was telling us how to get back right and get saved and do this and do that. We wasn't seeing it. So Jesus had to come down and say, look here, let me tell y'all. Repent. That's going to get you connected back to the Father. It ain't going to be your good works. It ain't going to be your because you're a good person. You pay your taxes. You obey the law. Jesus said, that's not going to get you into heaven. You're going to have to repent of your sins. Get back in fellowship. Repenting is the core that plugs us back into God. Now, here's the thing. When you are plugged into God, listen to this. I don't want to lose you. When you're plugged into him, you have power at your disposal. Listen to what I'm saying to you. If a vacuum cleaner or whatever you use is plugged in, there's an on and off switch. You need to be careful. If it's on, it's got power flowing to it. Amen? Handle, you know, there's a lot of things that give you warning signs to be careful. Okay? You know, Christians, we should have warning signs on us too. When you talk about Jesus, we're going to start shouting. because it does something to us. Okay? When they say, when I think about the goodness of Jesus, watch out now. Here he comes. There should be a warning sign on us. Look out now. You ain't ready for this yet. What I'm trying to tell you is that, see, here's a cord right here. There's a cord right here. See, there's power flowing through there. Okay? Now, think about this. When I'm plugged into the Lord, there is power that I'm connected to. Now, I can't see the electricity that's flowing through here, but I know it's got power hooked up to it. Amen? I know there's a current that is flowing through here, even though I can't see it, but I know it's flowing through here because things are operating as it should. So when I'm plugged into God, I can't see the Holy Spirit, but I can feel the power that is flowing. I can feel the power that is flowing through me, that's coming out and speaking to you, because I'm connected to God. Even though you can't see it, you can feel it. Amen. See, we can't see the electricity that is flowing all around us. I'm talking about through the wires, but you see the evidence of it. Amen? You can't literally see the Holy Spirit. I'm saying you can't see, but you feel it. That's why it came in like a mighty rushing wind. They felt it. Didn't see it because it came upon them. Came upon them quick. We need to understand that there is power flowing. And let me tell you something. If you don't know how to handle power, it'll hurt you. Amen. Y'all know that? Amen. If you don't know how to handle power, I'm gonna tell you, you can do a lot of damage. I'm being real with you. It can do some good, but it can also do some damage. Yeah. Try to live life without God. It's like being on life support. Y'all understand what I'm saying? I seen somebody on life support. Machine was doing all the work. Body gone. Machine was breathing for him. Machine was doing everything. And the only reason why that person was basically there is because they haven't took him off life support. Many of us people walking around basically operating without God. Their own life support. In other words, it's just a matter of time before they're unplugged. It's just a matter of time. But see, us that are operating on the power of God, we don't need that machine. Our support system of heaven was taken away when sin entered the human race. We don't need that life support machine. We need the Lord. Amen. That is our life support. Amen. Amen? We need to understand that if we want to get back connected with God, we have to repent. Jesus did promise the Holy Spirit. He said, Jesus said, I would never leave you nor forsake you. He is here with us. Always. And let me talk about that extension cord for a minute. Let me go back to that for a moment. You notice that there are some extensions that are long and some that are short. So it is with us in our Christian walk. One extension cord may carry you from here to the end of those pews. That's a long extension cord. Some extension cords may carry you from here to here, but it is an extension. The point that I'm trying to make is that God has ordained some of us to go further and some of us to go shorter. Amen? Amen. We should not get upset. We should not get mad, but God has ordained that. Amen? Because there are some extensions, you know, I have several different extension cords in my garage, you know, and I use them for different purposes. You know, I have some that can handle more wattage. Amen. So it can handle more flow that comes through there. And some that doesn't need as much juice, you know, current, or, you know, I go and get a lesser one. Doesn't mean anything. It just means that I just need this one to get the job done. We have to understand God has ordained us with certain tasks and certain abilities to do things. There may be a time where God may say, I need you to go. Well, you may say, well, I'm an extension cord too. Can I go? Well, God is saying to the longer one, I need you to be out there. Why? Because you can go further. This one right here, now see, you're only capable of going this far. So I don't need you to go and try to do the job that I've ordained this one to go, because I've extended this one a little further. Y'all follow what I'm saying? See, sometimes we want to be, just because we are a Christian, we want to be like this one over here. You understand what I'm saying? But God is saying, no, no. Yes, you are a Christian, but I haven't ordained you to do what they're doing. Amen? I've ordained you to do this over here. So what I want you to do is do what I've ordained you to do. Stop looking at this one who can go much further than you. It doesn't diminish you from being an extension cord. You're still an extension cord. You just not extended further than they are. You understand what I'm saying? You're right here. You're an extension. You hooked up to the power source. Let me tell you something. It wouldn't matter to me if I was a short extension cord or if I was a long one. All that matters is that I'm hooked up to the source. Isn't that a blessing? I'm hooked up to the source. Let me tell you something. I may not get everything that Paul gets or Peter gets, but you know, or John the Baptist get. But guess what? I'm going to be right there in heaven with them. What difference does it make? I ain't going to be in hell. I'm going to be in heaven. Why would I be upset? Because I'm looking at my brothers in the gospel who have received much, who have done much. Their extension was longer than mine. Mine was shorter. But I don't have any malice in my heart against them. I'm like this. I'm glad for you, brother, because I'm in the house of the Lord. Understand what I'm saying. If God has given, you know, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to say this in a real nice way. You know, my boss, you know, she's a director. And so being on that level requires you to do a lot of work. Yeah. Work some weekends and all of that type of stuff. Let me say this. Listen, you know where I'm going with that. So she's a director. There's a lot that's required of her to do. Okay? I mean, there's a lot of time she's spending away from home and everything. She's there when I get there. And when I leave, she's still there. But guess what? I'm a short extension cord. I don't have to stay there that long. When it comes time for me to go, I can go. I ain't trying to do what she's doing. I'm like this. Oh, 4:30. Whoa. Don't want to go over. All right. Deuces. I'm going home. But no, she can't. There's a report that's due. Well, I can't help you right now. It's 4:30 and I got to go. I'm not getting paid your money. You should have got me with, you should have said, well, you shortened up my breaks or something. See, I don't get overtime. See, this is how the company's messing with you. They don't give you overtime. You know, they put you on salary. That means they can just work the dog stuff out of you. I'm sorry, did the pastor just say the dog stuff? Edit that out. You edit that out. We don't need that going across the airwaves. I just let you know I'm human. That's you, Dave. Follow me as I follow Christ. But you know, that's what they do. And she vetted one time. It was so funny. She was like, I had to use my vacation time. I had to give up 3 days of my vacation time, and I had to work, and then I'm working weekends, and then I'm working long hours. And she was just mad. And I was just sitting there going like, I let her vent. I got a counseling degree. That's what I'm supposed to do. Let you vent. She got it off of her. Now when she got done, get back to work. I'm done. I'm out of here. I don't mean no disrespect, y'all. But sometimes we got to be careful of my point of wanting to do what somebody else is doing. Or wanting a title that somebody else has. Because come with that is great responsibility. And you see, some people just look at the pay. Trust me, you better watch that. Because you get that pay, but they own you. You understand what I'm saying? They own you. Because I remember one of the presidents kept them to 1 o'clock in the morning. And they had to show back up for work. Y'all think I'm playing with y'all this time? Y'all think I'm playing with y'all? I ain't playing with y'all. And I was like, what? I said, y'all was here what? I said, my sleep was good. They was in there all tired and everything, you know, wore out. And here it is, I'm going in there asking, can you prove my PTO time? I ain't have to do all that stuff. But see, here's how. Let me say this. You want to know how you know you're unplugged? When you no longer witnessing. When you stop witnessing for Jesus, you, my friend, you are unplugged. See, the Bible says in Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witness, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of all the earth. Amen? So it's easy to tell others about Jesus for some people, but some folks have got the gift of gab. But telling people about Jesus is not what he's calling us to do. Telling people about Jesus is the results of what he is calling us to do here. Amen? See, the thing about it is, if you have a hard time opening up your mouth and speaking of God's goodness, you're unplugged. See, it comes natural. Talk to a child of God about God. Talk to him about Jesus. You in for a conversation. If you don't want to stay long, don't say nothing to them. Because they're going to tell you about who they serve. Amen? It ain't no difference when somebody starts talking to you about your child, who you love. You're going to indulge in that conversation. Amen? Being a witness to Jesus is living a life that manifests his character. Amen? If you are living the life, and people on the job, they know, they mess with me sometimes, but people on the job, they know I'm living the life. One lady said, you know, when they give all the news of everything that's going on within the job, you know, they wait for the preacher to come. And they wait for me to say something to them. They was like, that's who I was waiting on. I was waiting on Ronnie to say something. They waiting on me to say something to them because I'm going to give them a word. Because that's what I am. That's what I do. I'm a messenger of God. I'm going to give God's word to them. Amen? So, how do you know also that you are unplugged? When you no longer want to worship. When it's hard for you to come and worship, not necessarily here, but if it's just hard for you to worship, to utter some praises to God, open up your mouth and sing. If you just sitting there just trying to, ain't nobody, look at, you ain't getting points by being cool or looking cool. You know, like I see sometimes I see people in, you know, when they come to church, they be back there. I want to go up to them and say, bruh, you're not going to get any type of points for being cool in church. That's not going to help it. I wanted to just go back there and tell them, say, throw them hands up. It's your lifestyle. Everywhere you go, where you walk, what you do, how you do it in the Lord. People ought to know when they step on your property, oh, this is God's territory. Amen? When they come in your house, they ought to... Amen? I mean, they need to feel it. It needs to be flowing. When you walk, they ought to know. I mean, like I went with my wife up to Swick. We went into the bookstore, and I ain't even get in there good. Young man, I came up on me so quick. He came up on me so quick, I flinched like, you know, this a little bit. But he came up on me, and what he was saying, he said, I know you're a child of God. I'm like, oh, okay, you all right, bro? He immediately recognized who I was. Now, did I go in there with this? No. Did I go in there preaching? Did I have a collar on? No. He recognized me by my walk. He was like, oh, okay, he doesn't walk like a heathen. He doesn't walk like a worldly person. This guy, the way he looked at me, he said, man, I knew you were a child of God. I can tell by the way you was walking. How do they do that? It's my lifestyle. It ain't just about coming to church. I didn't understand that, but it's a lifestyle. You know, this is a funny moment. You know, I had one time we were, I don't know if Ricky remember this, but it was a funny moment. One of my friends saw Ricky, and we was going up to Chanel School to play some softball. And you know, everybody always wanted to play the O'Bannons in softball. Why, I don't know. But we were going up there, and people knew me, but they didn't know Ricky. So they said, hey, is that your uncle? I said, why? They said, I just asked a question. I said, yeah, that's my uncle. He said, oh, I knew that. I said, how you know that? Because y'all walk alike. I ain't say anything to the guy. My point is, what I'm trying to say is, you don't have to know who's related by them talking to you. All you got to do is watch their lifestyle, watch their walk. We walk the light. Understand what I'm saying? Same similar patterns. He trip over his feet, I trip over mine. Same pattern. Somebody tell me stay focused. It's okay. Okay, stay focused. I knew one would say it outright. What I'm trying to get you to understand is that the devil knows a child of God. And he will point you out. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, we'll call you out and let you know who you are. If you don't know who you are, we'll point you out. Let you know. Paul had a way of walking and the way he went about things. Paul's lifestyle, when he was bad, spoke for him. He can show up and you'd be like, oh, hold up now. Whoa, what are you doing up in here? But when Paul got saved, that whole demeanor, everything changed. See, here's the thing. When you run into a child of God, they're going to be singing, praising God some kind of way, doing something. You know, I remember when I was a child, you know, growing up, and Brother Moore would be out there in his yard. I used to love to hear him sing. He'd be out there singing, and he'd be in his garage singing. So I'd be getting ready to go over to the house. I have my ear up to the door, and he out there in his garage just singing away. He's doing what he's ordained to do. And that is sing. And I'll be out there, but I mean, he wasn't talking. He was just singing. But some of y'all say, he loved to talk. No, he was singing. So I was listening to him. He was singing. He was in his own little world, singing praises to God. And the thing that got me was I was like, he ain't in church. Understand what I just said. He didn't wait until church. He was having church. Just him and the Lord singing. This is not me saying something just to talk good. I'm saying that was his lifestyle. You walk up on him, he's liable to be singing. That's what he do. When you unplugged, that's a feeling that you're not getting that power anymore. Right. Understand what I'm saying to you. Well, another thing that you unplug, we become me motivated. Right. It's all about you. All right. It ain't about anybody else. It's about you. You, 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 and then more you. I remember growing up, and I had a younger brother. Now, keep this in mind, I was 9 years older than him. So that means I have established myself for 9 years before he even came. And I have established some toys that was mine before he even came. He wasn't even thought of. I've established myself. And it was understood that these were mine. Now, when he starts getting to the point where he starts walking, now all of a sudden my toys are now his. I don't know when that transaction occurred, but it did occur. Here's what I'm getting to. Is that we become, it's natural, it's in our DNA or our dinner as a selfish person. What I'm saying is he began to claim everything that was mine, his. We got into a little discussion. I said, this is mine. He said, no, it's mine. I said, no, it's mine. It's been mine. What are you talking about? Something is yours. He's saying it was his. He got mad, started crying. Of course, he goes to mom, and mom said, just give it to the boy. Well, that was wonderful. You just solved that little thing. Just give it to the boy. No, let's establish something here. There's some teaching that needs to go on here that this is mine. Okay? It's not his. You don't just say, just give it to the boy. No. He needs to understand that he can't be selfish, even though that would apply to me, but we talk about me right now. We ain't talking about me right now. We talking about his selfishness. Okay? He shouldn't be selfish where he's claiming everything. This is his world. Everything was his. And the little two-year-old was getting on my nerves. How is this yours when it was mine before you came? He was establishing a selfishness. What I'm trying to get you to understand is that, you know, when you start getting selfish and it's no longer about helping your brothers and sisters in Christ, in the gospel, where you got everything for yourself and you can't lend something or give something or support somebody, you have become self-centered. You are no longer plugged into Christ. You are operating on batteries, which is a temporary fix. You're not going to work too much longer. I don't care what the commercials say about that Energizer bunny. They put new batteries in there. That battery is still not working. Understand what I'm saying to you. When you become self-centered, you have established a me personality. It's all about you. Remember that James and John, the sons of thunder, what did they do? Went to Jesus, tried to get a hookup. Am I all right? Amen. Tried to get a hookup. Wanted to get the best seat in the kingdom of God. Right. Went to him, say, Jesus, basically, put it to you plain. Can you hook us up? You know, brothers, can you give us a good seat? You know, you've been talking about this kingdom thing for a while. Let's, you know, can we put in something for it and get a little investment? You understand what I'm saying? VIP, there you go, brother. VIP, they wanted VIP. We need to basically submit ourselves to God. Amen? Amen. Now, here's another hint. When you know that you've been unplugged, if you ain't bearing nothing, ain't bearing no fruit. It's bad to have a tree in your yard that's an apple tree, ain't no apples on it. Isn't that bad? It's bad to have a tree in your yard that's an apple tree, but brother, there ain't no apples on there. It's got to be producing. If you call yourself a child of God, you got to be producing. You have to be doing something. Amen? Here's another thing. You know you're unplugged. When you're no longer involved. If you're not involved in church, you're not working for the upbuilding of the church, the ministry. I mean, just can't get you to do nothing. Amen? Can't get you to do nothing. I mean, ask you to sing and use your voice, you don't want to do that. No. I don't want to sing. Ask you to usher. No. I don't want to usher. I don't want to do that. Well, can you help us clean up this? No. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. It would cut some grass. No. I don't want to do that. Can you get to help us get this water off the roof? No. I'm scared of heights. I don't want to do that. If we can't get you to do anything, you're not plugged in. Whatever you find your hands to do. I remember Brother Story, Wayne Story, great man of God. This brother, we went down to Mississippi for a funeral in his family. And we're there. And I'm going to tell you, I saw something that I've never seen before in my lifetime. But as the old folks say, just keep on living. His family just lost a loved one. And generally, they're the ones that sit down being served. But how about that family did the serving? And we were sitting down, and I looked, I said, something's wrong with this picture. But then I heard somebody say, well, that's custom. What do you mean custom? Down south. That's how they operate. They extend themselves to you. I was like, well, the people up north need to learn something from down there. I said, didn't some of them come from? No, never mind, leave that alone. But my point is, I saw the involvement of that family reaching out to everyone, helping them, and just extending themselves to the loved one, to the friends and everyone that came and thanking them for coming out. But in Christ, you need to be connected. We are strength to one another. Right. Amen? Amen? We are strength to one another. Being not connected to your brothers and sisters, You are making yourself vulnerable. My point, my brother and I, we pretty much walked to schools together, okay? Everything we did, we were together. And I had cousins. We were all together. You mess with one, all of us are coming. That's just the way it was. We were all coming at you. It don't matter if I have never seen you before. It didn't matter. I remember I said to Ricky one time, I said, that guy called me a name. Go get him. Ricky said, who? I said, that guy right there. Guy was bigger than me. But I knew Ricky was strong. I knew Ricky could handle him. So Ricky went over there. And sure enough, Ricky stood in between them. And, you know, Ricky get close and personal. So Ricky had some words for him, said some things to him. And Ricky said, do you remember him? And I'm standing there like this. And Ricky was talking to him and was saying some words to him. Next thing you know, everybody started crowding around, and I was looking. I was like, whoa, wow, this is nice. Seeing Ricky continue on handling his business. Stood him and then Ricky, I don't know, but Ricky, when he get mad, you say, I understand his words, he said, it was funny. But Ricky told him, said, when you see him coming, you go the other way. And I was looking, and I was like, that's right. Go the other way. Now, we need to understand something here. Understand what I'm saying. When you're unplugged, you lose power, you lose strength, you lose everything. You have no connection. You have no source. You don't have the Holy Spirit anymore working with you. Understand what I'm saying to you. You don't have that power that you think you have. You lost it. It's gone. Understand what I'm saying? It's gone. The only way you can get that power back is that you got to plug into God. If you're not plugged into Him, you're not going to receive power. All right. Amen? You have to stay connected. And it doesn't take much. When you are disconnected, it doesn't take much. All you got to do is plug back in. And you will receive that power. We are an extension. I have no power myself unless I'm connected to God. If I'm connected to God, then I have power. We are an extension to get you to where you need, and that is Jesus. Without Him, Scripture says we can do nothing on our own. Literally, we can do nothing. No power, no strength, no anything. All that we do is because of Him. Now, some of y'all may be, well, I'm doing this. Mm-mm. You're doing it because God has allowed you to do it. He's given you the strength and the power to do it. If He shall call your name and say that for you to come home or for you to lose your life right now, you're gone. We move and have our being because of God. When we are disconnected from Him, we lose that source of power. Amen? We lose all of that. So we need to stay connected. How do we stay connected, Pastor? We must repent. We must repent. Amen.